Just talked to my baby on the telephone. She said, stop what you're doing, baby, come on home. I can't hold out.
Welcome back to all you slapheads and holdouts. If you're within the sound of my voice, that means you are back for seconds on this podcast crossover. My name is Emily Brinkmeyer, and I'm the host of Lone Holdout. And crossing over with me are the hosts of Slapper Show. So joining me are the Ginger Loaf himself, the lovely and talented Zach Shepherd. Hi, Zach.
Hey.
And on my other side, he's less ginger and more brown sugar. He's the very delightful Hector Perez. Hi, Hector.
Hi, I like that intro.
And guys, last time I was here, we talked Pokemon, and that's child's play. I think we're going to get into something a little more grown up. It's got everything. It's got sex and controversy and heartbreak.
And we're going to up the ante in the nerd world, huh?
And we're going to talk about World of Warcraft. So let's do it.
It can stole years of my life away.
Let's talk about that game.
What, stealing years of my life away?
How it just steals lives. Like,
it does have a reputation for being addictive.
This is the Blizzard paradigm, though. Whenever Blizzard takes a intellectual property, or specifically a game, they turn it into the... They build the game, and then they insert the Blizzard crack. And you get addicted to the Blizzard crack.
What other games have the same reputation?
Hearthstone has that same reputation.
Okay. Hearthstone, yeah.
Is it Hearthstone?
Heart or Hearth?
I thought it was Hearth, like a stone that teleports you back to the city.
It's that. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm not quite there yet. Give me about 45 minutes and then he can mess with my mind again.
Okay.
He'll be watching his clock.
Timer set up.
They have, well, what else have they done, huh? Right, like StarCraft?
By the way, I just love that the Blizzard brand of crack. It's like I could see someone go into a corner and asking for the Blizzard and getting like half cocaine, half crack, half like World of Warcraft. An improper fraction, by the way, but still satisfying nonetheless.
Wow, drug deals gone gamer.
Yeah.
That's an interesting concept.
Give me that Blizz crack, man. I need it.
I need the stuff, man.
I'll take the Zerg Rush.
Need to bring it to the next level.
Give me a Jim Raynor.
but this definitely gets a rap for being so addictive that people lose their lives. They can't get away.
I think in total, I spent almost 5 years of my life playing World of Warcraft.
At what level did you get
five
to?
Five of them.
Because they're up to 90 levels available now, right? They had to add more.
Level cap?
Yeah. I was able to get to level 80, but I did it with one character. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people switch between characters and they level up several characters at one time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all sorts of crazy. I mean, I'm sure I'm just gonna have story after story after story.
We should probably ease into
this so that I don't just blabber away for hours on end. But it was a good. I moved to Connecticut for a year of my life, and I didn't have any friends. And my parents came down and said, here's this game that we thought you would like. Little did they know that they would never see me. I was literally living in my parents' basement. a literal basement. Stairs all the way down, and my room was underneath them.
This is so stereotype. It was World of Warcraft player. It's not even funny.
I know. How bad was your acne? How bad was the obesity? How did that play out?
How were those Hot Pockets?
Obesity is catching up with me now, unfortunately.
How was the Cheetos and Mountain Dew working out for you?
Although Mountain Dew was very frequent.
Code Red.
Code Red's delicious.
My combo was Oreos and Mountain Dew. I'm sure I tried it at some point.
It was terrible.
Could you not? I'm in a basement with no one watching me. It's something like I'm just looking around, like left to right, and then I just go dip. Like, oh, that's freaking good. I'm gonna keep, And then my mom comes in. Wasn't doing anything.
It's like nothing.
Yeah, to prepare for this podcast, I watched the South Park episode that aired in 2008 called Make Love Not. Oh God, I have it written down. Make Love Not Warcraft, which is different from my H.P. Lovecraft / fiction. Make Lovecraft Not War.
No,
but
Zang.
But and so this might be some people's only understanding of the game, but they do talk about the social aspect, I guess.
I think there are other media that there's a really good documentary that was on Netflix. I'm pretty sure it might not be there anymore, but. I think we watched it together, actually. It had a little piece of... It was just, people and their extensions online and about how they could lead from everything from marriages to...
I think I remember what you're talking
robberies
about.
And even this one...
Did you say robberies?
Yeah. Yeah. Minecraft related. I mean, well, sorry. Warcraft related robbery. And even suicide.
How does that play out? You know, when someone's not home and you can go rob their house.
Yeah.
Oh, are you serious?
And there was like neglect.
Oh my God. Yeah. That
neglecting
was,
children, neglecting family.
I was trying to look up a specific case that I had heard about and couldn't even track it down. Found other stories from 2005, 2011, 2013. This is an ongoing thing where parents, not ongoing. I mean, not to sound like it's an epidemic, but there are enough stories to really break your heart about parents who neglect their kids, sometimes to death.
Although I will say for a second, as a game developer, that's the Blizzard crack. That is the Blizzard crack at work, and it's functioning almost like real addiction.
Drugs, yeah. You need to have a game intervention, actually.
But no, seriously, you actually have to break this routine because you get so immersed in this world that's not real.
Right.
But it's such a problem. Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain how to get people are looking at video games and going, how do you get that stuck into it?
Well, do you know? I wonder sometimes if it's a personality type where you can get addicted to things and that manifests itself specifically as a video game this time.
Oh, I mean, someone can make like just a generic product and there'll be a whole slew of people who can get like addicted to it. And it wasn't intended for that. You know,
right.
It's the people and the way they abuse it.
Exactly.
But at the same time, they worked really hard to make that game have such a big pull factor to just always keep pulling you back in. And that's really what kept me stuck into that world.
But I think almost any topic you would talk about as it relates to World of Warcraft is going to branch off of that perception of reality that you end up getting from being so immersed in the world. Ego was another thing that I kept coming across. There was a story very recently about, it was a business profile, about a guy who put his level 70 paladin on his resume.
Wow.
And I was trying to think if that's actually, if he's maybe just deluding himself into thinking that he's creating real world skills.
Did he list off the armor? Because if he didn't, then that's not an achievement. He needs to tell them what tier of armor and what set of armor he's collected in order for that to be an achievement.
I know he had a concentration in healing, but I don't know about his armor. But he was his guild master, and so he used it to describe how he was able to recruit.
He had leadership skills, I guess.
Leadership skills, talent recruiting.
Yeah, it can be legitimate leader skills. So, and I don't think people also grasp that part of it because you know, thinking of a game and these people playing it together. There are dungeons, entire dungeons that span over four or more, and they've gotten worse over the years, 4, 5, 6 hours long, a dungeon, and it's called a raid dungeon. And what it is you actually invite 39 other players into a party, all of you together, 40 people, and I think there's even bigger ones now, 60 and 80.
I think, is this where Leroy Jenkins story
This is the
out?
Leroy Jenkins, the famous Leroy Jenkins, this is what happened. And I'll explain why that's funny in a second. But you have this group of 40 people and this really, really hard dungeon, and all 40 of you, and you do have to all work together to get through the dungeon. And then there's a boss that you sometimes have to fight for like an hour straight, all 40 of you just constantly hitting him and trying to kill him. And usually one person, the guild leader, is the person saying, healers, come to the front. You know, the tanks need to get all the attention and then pull them off to the side. And then the healers need to come around the back and thieves cloak and go around and wait for the boss to spin around. You know, there's one guy coordinating the whole thing, sort of like, you know, football. Like, he's got the floor plan of how he wants all the players to move.
So it's tactical to the point where it's a company size attack on an enemy base.
It's like a freaking battle.
And so you're saying that actually is kind of an impressive accomplishment.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Well,
yeah.
To put it on your resume.
From a psychological standpoint, is anyone that uses common sense would figure that is not something you put on a resume.
Right.
But I think from a psychological standpoint, it's the fact that we're also taking the time. They've lost sense of real world and augmented reality.
Right. You really should save the cutesy shit for your interview.
Yeah. And there's also a sense that there's a high amount of achievement, but that's because they're also weighing it in comparison to real life. And I think a lot of people are so attracted to the idea of RPGs because they guarantee results. You might fail a series of times, but once you clear that dungeon, you're guaranteed a crap ton of points, nice rewards. It's not like real life where you work hard, you try your best, and it doesn't work out. So I think that's the appealing part of this aspect. And this is what really clings people on, is because they're unlike real life guaranteed results.
Right.
So I think that augments the loss of perception of both worlds coming together and they melt together.
Now, one of the things I came across was someone talking about how they don't have fun when they're playing necessarily because there's a work ethic involved. Is that present game necessarily? Like having to level up by doing X
number
of tasks?
Are they Germans? Is that it? Sorry to alienate our listeners from Germany. Are they just highly efficient and no nonsense?
Sorry, that's what came through my mind.
I say, Shepard, this is a really sexy question.
We live in a generation of very impatient people.
Right.
And I think him saying it's a work ethic is wrong. Mm-hmm. I think what he's really trying to say is that I'm impatient and I don't want to wait and do hard work and, you know, yada, 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 yada. There's actually people who monetize off of the World of Warcraft where they walk up to you and they realize you've been in an area for too long and they'll message you and say, hey, trade me that character, give me $20 and I'll go ahead and just go and beat these enemies until you're like the highest level possible and then I'll just give them back to you.
Absolutely. You know? And there are people who sell their accounts, right? Yes. Like after they're a high level, they can put it up on eBay.
Yeah. Well, it's really bad now. If you actually get the demo, I think you can play to the first 20 levels free.
Right.
If you get the demo now and you start up, and I'm assuming they're still doing this. They did this near the time I stopped playing. But if you create a new character, you go into the starting area where all the new characters go. Everyone knows that that's where the new people start.
Yeah, that's about as far as I got, actually.
Well, yeah, but I tried. But these people who want to monetize off of you, they lurk in the little starting areas.
Interesting.
And they pay attention to the new names that appear, and they just shoot off messages as you come by. And every once in a while, they'll grab some guy who just doesn't want to do work. And, well, it's even less fortunate since the first 20 levels are free and you're going to pay somebody to, you know,
doesn't make sense.
Whatever. Yeah, but still, these are the same people who are playing a mobile game and it says, you know, wait 5 minutes or give me $5. And they're like, now $5. You know, it's just, we live in a generation of very impatient people. So I don't think there's a work ethic. Hector touched very well on the idea that the World of Warcraft is designed to reward you.
Mm-hmm. It's guaranteed results. It's almost like a dopamine response to your body, which is why it's like almost like an addiction to a substance. Because
you're getting the
on top
rewards,
of being guaranteed success, which is in your head, that adds to, I think, the high of this game. It's you're guaranteed success. So it's almost like sex, really, if you think about it. Yeah. Well, even then, sex is not even guaranteed the results that playing this game is. So it's the fact that you know that at the very end of this test, you're going to be rewarded in one way or another. Whereas almost any real life situation, it's kind of a crapshoot where whether you're going to get rewarded for something that's completely arduous and harrowing.
I think, too, that like when you level up and it does take a long time, when you start getting those high levels, like weeks of constant hours to get that level. But they have skill trees. And when you level up, you get points that you can put into your skill trees and give your player new abilities and stuff like that. So you're always working towards a goal. And when you finish a level, you get those points and you get that dopamine response. You get a reward. So.
I think there's also an added satisfaction that you get knowing that you're more powerful than people beneath you. Like seeing them struggle with such a low level enemy in your eyes and you could just like one foul swoop just destroy this character. That kind of gets you going too. So there are many psychological factors here that factor into the high that is Warcraft.
And that sort of leads me onto something else, though, because there's not quite an economy in such of like money in this game. They don't play with that a lot. But
that is a factor, though. That
out of the game, it's not intended to. But yeah, there's
gold
farming,
but there's not economy. Yeah. There's not like fluctuation and stuff like that.
You're not using the gold to make purchases.
Yeah, no. Azeroth has a stock exchange.
I guess technically, good on you for knowing Azeroth, by the way. But
I know things. I just
technically there is economy, but it's just constant.
Okay,
there's no variable. But there is also player factions, which is the part to me that really hooks me in is the story, the way they do the story in this game. And I love it. There's some towns you go to that are neutral, and there's the good people. There's the humans and the night elves, and you know all the good people. And then there's like the undead and the orcs and crap like that. So you're, you know, you're like Lord of the Ring factions and stuff. And they're against each other. Like this in the story, in the lore of the game, they're actually against each other. And they start on different parts of the world, and eventually they sort of saturate together. And so there's cities that are neutral, and you go into these cities and you're actually walking around with your enemy. You'll see orcs running down the streets and stuff like that, but you can't touch them. Now, you can fight them if you want. You can run up and beat them, but the second you hit them, all the guards in the city come and attack you because they're trying to keep the peace. And every once in a while, a group of 40 guys or more decides that they want to take a town down.
And so they
bring all their toughest people, and they just plow through all the guards, and they kill all the people that are in the town. And then you'll just see good people flying in from other cities because they got the word through messaging to come and help. And it turns into this like battle, and you can spend hours just picking people off and just trying to help your city come back. And
I like that it's like a meld of like Middle Earth meets the internet high tech world, because it's like, imagine like Frodo getting an IM, you know, it's like it's like message from Sam.
He's got Google Glass.
It's like, oh yeah, no, that's an even more accurate depiction of what would happen. So yeah, Frodo's like wearing his like Google Glass, and it's like message from Sam. It's like help, help, and it's, that's pretty much, I think, another success story to World of Warcraft is making that all seamlessly work together.
And then, ergo, the creation of boil 'em, mash 'em, stick 'em in a stew, potatoes.
You got
stupid
it,
stupid fat hobbit.
Thank you. That was a very good impression.
Okay. I'm going to shut up for a while. I'll let you guys.
No, you're good.
Oh, we're supposed to carry this now?
No, you're the only one that has extensive knowledge of the Warcraft universe.
Tell us the stories.
I've exhausted myself by simply saying Azeroth. I'm like, well, that's all I know.
I know.
Okay. Well, I can say I picked a druid. That was my character.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
My goal in the game was to play one character. I didn't want to maintain other characters.
Before you get too far into that, since you're giving us just the basics of your character.
All right.
When I was creating my character, almost everything was taken. So as far as names, what did you end up with? Because this is a long time ago, and there weren't, how many players are there now? 7 million?
There was still a crap ton, though.
Yeah. I ended up having to go with my Twitter handle. So somewhere out there is a character named Doubt Furious.
That's actually a good name. Yeah. I like it. I know today I would be Gingerloaf, obviously, unless someone else out there has taken my creativity from me. Brutz, which I just made up just for you guys. I think
that's the name of a cologne, right?
He was Hot Wench 69.
Wild Love Slut Angel 62. No.
Is this the game where they tried to weed out that kind of thing?
I think they had a filter.
They have a few filters, but every now and then you can get through by inserting special, you know, symbols.
Yeah,
and stuff
that you know, you got the clever people who figure out how to break that paradigm.
Busty Wench 69.
Yeah, there you go.
So my character's name, if I remember correctly, was Alilise, which is Alilyse.
Okay, and what did it mean?
Was it just random?
It was just letter sounds. Well,
it was after an epileptic seizure that he had after too much Mountain Dew, and it was just like
sugar high, just typing out letter
all
sounds
across the keyboard.
There's just Mountain Dew everywhere,
and it wasn't even his fingers. It's like his face fell on the keyboard, which is why it was like that, just one row of letters there.
And then my tongue hit the last character.
It was like enter. It's like good, and you're like.
I think I like alliteration. I like names that flow. And I just started messing with letters until I got something that I felt flowed pretty well.
It's so like Ulysses with an A. I can imagine that being like a child's name these days because of what people name their children. But, Ulysses? Yeah, it's like a Ulysses, but with an A.
Yeah.
We all know that parents follow trends and they love to name their children really random things because, you know, having unoriginal names is bad for a child.
Well, right. When doing some Google searches as related to this, one of the things that popped up is, what's a good World of Warcraft name for my baby?
Gosh. None. No.
Stop. Are you pregnant? Don't. Don't do that. Don't do that. So you were a druid.
A female druid.
Female druid. Now, that is something I want to talk about a little bit later, is men playing as female.
So that was characters. An interesting point for me. I honestly don't know why I picked a female. I'm not the kind of player who picks the girl just to watch the girl, which
that
is what
is
most of them do.
What most of the answers I came up with was, it was, I don't want to watch a man's ass for 40 hours.
Yeah, well, and also, you know, a dude, when you have like, when, you know, any average gamer is sitting at a machine and it's like, do you want this like broad shouldered, badass looking guy or this like skinny hourglass little night elf chick? And it's like, yeah, I want to look at that the whole time.
See, I think I would have the opposite impulse. First of all, as a man, like a male character, strategically, aren't you stronger? Aren't you able to accomplish more? But also, isn't this kind of aspirational? Don't you want to be
so
him?
So does gender affect stats in this game is basically what she's
trying
to get
to.
Well, there is no actual stat modification.
Thanks for interpreting.
But
I translate it to game.
Yeah.
But, and I think mostly what you're saying would be true because you're now talking about like a psychological thing because it doesn't, there's no stat differentiation between the male and female.
So you're not stronger as a male.
There's
character.
No actual stat difference. Okay. So the only thing that could be different is how you interpret your game and play based on this character that you think you are.
Any strength you're getting from the male character would be purely psychological and effective.
Yeah. But that's the thing is the internet wall is what puts it into a funky state here.
Right.
Because normally, like, guys, in real life, you want to be, like, macho. You want to be, you know, like, the biggest you can and do whatever you can and be as strong as you can because that's your actual life. Like, that's it. That's all you got. But in this game, all of a sudden, you have a chance to start over. You have a chance to experience a different half of this world. You know, you can see what happens in as a female, you know.
Right, because gender and psychology plays a big role in this, I guess. I was reading about this woman who's using it as a research project where she'll play as a female character and it's not a big deal until she gets on a headset and starts talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then people freak out.
Yeah.
And their attitude towards her changes completely. And all comments made to her are from now on either sexist or flirtatious.
Yes.
Well, that's kind of the gamer world for you. It's the same thing with a girl gets into a Call of Duty match. It's
right.
As soon as if the gamer tag does not reveal that it is a girl playing, then the headset will, and immediately it just becomes that. And I think it's just because of a lack of representation of females in games. Yeah, but I think statistics show that it's a little bit more balanced than we think.
And I think this game has a lot of a lot of different demographics, ages, and both genders.
It's just when it's finally out there because there's still a thin veil of this could be a guy because this is a really hot girl character, but this could be a guy. So there's that. As soon as that veil is completely gone and it's like you're hearing the girl speak, then it's just like, oh, okay, the filter's gone. I totally know it's a girl. So, I mean, that's what happens.
And then you end up interacting the way you think is appropriate to interact with a girl, I guess.
Apparently,
you stop being reserved.
To tell her to get back in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Make you a sandwich.
So, some of the guys, actually a lot of the stereotype that fits into the gaming world would do that, sadly enough.
Right.
But
they don't know how to talk to women. This is why they have girlfriends.
But I've actually experienced that in online games before as well, though, to be like, you know, I know it's some like 40-year-old dude who's playing that chick character, whatever. I don't care. And then she's like, hello, and it's like, oh, it's like, oh, whoa, hold on, wait, can I be in your party? You want to be in my party? Let's fight shit together.
There's that question too.
Because that's romantic.
Are you a girl? Or are you just a little boy? First of all, I just want to make sure that I'm not speaking to what I think is a girl, but just sounds like it's a really little boy because that happens too. That's always awkward, terribly awkward.
But I'll tell you what is nice, though. I decided that everyone uses Ventrilo. They use this voice over IP software to chat. I don't know if the game has built-in voice stuff nowadays, but it didn't previously. So they had to run their own voice servers and run this other software with the game to allow you to talk to your team and stuff. But I didn't want to do that, and I was playing a female character, and I really don't know how this all came together. It was a very interesting thing, and I just played with it because I love the game for the social part. I actually didn't, like, I was low level for a very long time because I just wouldn't play the game. I wouldn't go quest or anything. I would just hang out in the cities and try to mess with people. And being a druid, I could turn into a cat, I could turn into a bear, I could turn into a sea lion, and turn into this, like, fuzzy bear thing. And so I would just run around as, like, an animal and just kind of, like, mess with people. And there was one time where I found all the druids in the town and I parted them all up and I made them all get together and all turn into cats at the same time. And we took a giant picture and I emailed it to everybody. So there was like 50 cats in one room.
And then
we all turned into the sea lion things and went over into the water and just like messed around. We figured out we could do that like backwards dolphin trick where you like get out of the water and everything like that.
Must have been a very exciting moment for you.
But there was just, I played it and I would tell people that I wasn't a girl character and everything was good. And then I got to a high level and I don't know, maybe there was just something really good at stake. I don't know what caused me to make this decision, but the question came up of, are you actually a girl? And I remember sitting there kind of looking at my keyboard and going, you know what? Yes, I am a girl.
Ooh.
And I saw this reaction, actually, which is the interesting part about it, is right. I saw the immediate change of this character. And I actually remember his tag, too. It was Zedekus. This person had too much, like, rare crap in the game. And he would log in and just send me rare crap and then log out. And, like, daily, just log in, send me rare crap, and log out.
So you were getting flirted with.
Yes, but I was getting all the rare items right. at the same time. And it was kind of weird at first, but
you were flaunting your womanly.
Eventually, wild. It came to be like, all right, give me my stuff for the day, go away, okay, you know.
Wow, but I'm like, tired of all this. Yeah. This bores me.
Getting hit on is so tedious.
Yeah.
Oh my god, right?
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh my gosh, my rare item. Just put them over there.
Thank you.
With the,
okay.
Put them there. Bye.
Yeah. Exactly. So it was really cool to me to see that change personally, because right. I don't think a lot of guys have actually had that opportunity. It
well,
is weird that I posed as a female.
You can be whoever you want.
Yeah. It was an identity that I chose.
Right.
And it's,
which other people our age, I guess, express through going on chat rooms and
yeah.
like pretending to just be somebody else.
Yeah.
So
it, that was an interesting experiment for me. I think that the World of Warcraft is a really, really great place to look at social interaction. And I think I just remembered they have their own languages, but I think I'm going to elaborate on that a little bit more.
Well, we've got to go level up.
We're going to go level up for just a little bit, and then we're going to come right back and slap you with some more information about WoW.
Disclosure to our listeners, you guys and I have hung out in real life. And one day Hector and I were watching a game review video and the YouTuber used the phrase HP. And I asked, what's HP? And before answering me, he stares at me and he goes, you really don't know anything, do you? You really are a novice, aren't you? And no, I'm not trolling you guys. I really don't know anything. And so when I ask you questions about this, I'm actually looking for information. And so one question I had, are there limits to the maps? Do they end? Is there a wall?
There's fake walls, but they signify the ending of a map.
There's a level designer's best friend is the invisible wall.
Right.
Although they did a really good job at finding ways to explain them. Because it's the worst thing that happens in a lot of games is you are walking and you see something and you try to run towards it, and then you just can't go anymore.
Stop.
That breaks immersion. So Blizzard tried really hard to not do that. But there's some very clear points in the game, yes, where you can run as much as you want and you won't go anywhere. But I would say a good 95% of it's connected and explained.
So
that's really good.
Before the break, we had teased talking about Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah.
And that story never came to fruition.
I think this all goes back to psychological example. And I'm always reminded of Michael Caine's monologue of the Joker. And when he's explaining his demeanor after he tells a long story, but you know, it just ends with, you know, some people are just really crazy and some people just want to see the world burn.
Some people are the size of a tangerine.
Yeah. Some people are the size of a tangerine.
Some people are the size of a tangerine. It's really unfortunate.
They're called fetuses.
So Leroy Jenkins is a fetus.
Oh, well, I would, no, in the
Leroy Jenkins.
In the sense that there's organized anarchy, there's just flat out anarchy. And that was a fun example of someone just breaking that organization that Zach was talking about, how every person has to do their part in like a dungeon raid. There are people that just scream anarchy, and the rally call to anarchy and just plain anarchy in World of Warcraft was Leroy Jenkins.
So, and I strongly advise everyone who's listening to this podcast right now to pause this for a second, and you will come back, I hope, and go to your YouTubes or the internets and look up Leroy Jenkins. I promise it'll be the first thing that comes up, and it'll be a World of Warcraft video, and it'll look legit in the beginning, and then it'll just all go to hell. But the idea is that they were doing a raid and they had a massive team of people who had to go clean out this room of enemies. If one person goes into this room alone, then it attracts all of the enemies to that person and kills him immediately because he can't take them all. And then all the enemies will go kill the other guys. So they didn't want that. They were all kind of off to the side waiting and strategizing before they attacked. And Leroy Jenkins was the name of the character who decided to just, for some reason, just burst out into this anarchy.
So they were in the middle of strategizing. They were having their powwow, and they're like, okay, we're going to do this.
And he was a member of that group.
He was part of that dungeon raid. So there's a leader. He's like designating roles, and there's a battle plan. And just in the middle of this breakdown, he just breaks this briefing with Leroy Jenkins, which you've already heard if you've heard the video. And
he yells his name and runs across the map.
It's a fun example of everything to not do to piss people off in World of Warcraft. And I believe also if you just watch the video, I think so. It ends with someone just going, oh, damn you, Leroy.
Yeah, all of his team members were not very pleased.
His finishing line to all this is when people are done cussing him out is, at least I still have chicken. So yeah.
I wonder if that was this guy's like resignation to WoW. He's like, in the dungeon. He's like, you know what? I don't like this game anymore. Leroy.
And he's like, well, chicken soothes his soul. At least I still have food.
That's a good way to look at it, though.
But yeah, there are ways to play this game and there are ways to not play it. Or
the chicken is not a lie.
No, not in this case. Chicken will always be there for you. Teammates will not after you pull a stunt like that. So
go look it up.
Yeah, if you haven't, because we gave you a chance.
You don't still have chicken. You don't play the game anymore, do you?
I don't still have chicken?
You don't still have chicken?
I do. I have chicken. But no, I unfortunately do not play. I don't dabble in the World of Warcraft anymore.
Now, over the break, you told us it wasn't a rage quit that took you away. Why did you stop?
And I was trying to be reserved about talking about that on the break because I wanted, you know, original content here, but you know, it's kind of weird and smoky even to me why I stopped to try and think about that, because I look at it today and it's like, if I had time to do it, I still would. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that pushed me away is I just started taking on more responsibilities in my life, and it's just kind of pushed it out of the way. You know, when I played World of Warcraft, the entire time I played World of Warcraft, I was living at home with mom, didn't have a whole lot of responsibility, didn't have a job. I just went to school, so I'd come home and just play the game. And I could spend a lot of hours and stuff like that. So I think time's the only thing that pushed me away.
And that's the joke they make in the South Park episode is, how do you kill that which has no life? If you're, the joke being that you can only really dedicate yourself to this if you've got nothing else going on.
So there comes a point when you're playing, you know, World of Warcraft obsessively, where you have to weigh in and decide, you know, is it going to be, because you can do both, but it's very taxing on you. So there's a point where you have to weigh everything and make a decision whether to continue or not. And, you know, you and World of Warcraft end up in an impasse, which is what happened with Zach. It was kind of a steady letting go. It wasn't a rage quit for sure. But, you know, a lot of people choose to continue Warcraft.
If I could still log into my old character right now, I would be hit in the face with that old nostalgia. I'm not sure.
They keep your character, but only for
I'm certain it's for a limited amount of time. It would not make sense for them to keep all that data around forever.
Mm-hmm.
But the other reason I'm not certain is because I think I gave my account to a friend when I stopped. Okay. And I think he may have sold my character.
Oh my.
So,
do you know how much she made?
She probably made all of the money. I can only imagine that she made all of the money.
She was pretty fabulous.
Yeah, she was. So she was hardcore. She's well kept. You know, she could turn into a cat.
Are we describing a car now? It's like low mileage, hardly used. Got all the nice fancy buttons and features.
She was low mileage when she had to do highway miles. She could just turn into a cat or a bird.
Oh, there you go.
But it was yeah. I mean, very fond memories of this game. Very, very, very fond memories.
So sometimes you kind of get just a little bit of nostalgia thinking about it.
Oh, absolutely.
What games have taken its place in your heart? Is there anything? Because it's really a luxury of youth, because you're talking about having lived at home with your parents, having free time, not a lot of obligations.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a remnant of its time in your life. So is there a game that's taken its place in your heart?
In just to kind of break open the meaning of that a little bit further, are we talking about something I actively play or just something that has been created that I know is capable of taking its place?
Sure. Either way.
Either way?
Let's go both ways.
You're just like, whatever, everything?
Right.
All the answers.
All the answers.
Give me all the answers. Fill all the time.
All at the same time. Wow, that's a really hard question.
So to answer your question.
Well, one thing I wanted to know, is the game still relevant? And I mean, not just to you, but in our society, people still play it, well, I
good,
guess.
Good point, because this game is really old. When it launched, it was 2004.
So it's been 10 years.
It's been a good decade. I can't believe that.
Still making DLCs.
Time flies.
How's it age? Is it holding up pretty well? Is it...
Talk to the game master here.
It's not sagging.
It's not sagging.
Not sagging in any important areas.
It's still like you can revisit and be like, dang, you look bad. So dang.
Yeah. That was another funny thing too, is people sort of looked at WoW as if it was a cartoony, childish game, because it has sort of a cartoon art style.
It has a cartoon
to it.
Aesthetic, yeah.
But there's really, once you play it enough, like there's so much detail in their world that other games haven't even, you know, lightly touched.
Well, and there's also myriads of references to not even just Tolkien-ish things, but like there's steampunk elements too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's alien worlds.
Steampunk stuff was one of my favorite dungeons, by the way. There's an entire
steampunk stuff.
There's the dwarven city, and they mess with steam and they mess with heat and forging and different things like that. But they had a dungeon, it's like Gizmo or Giz something like that. But it was this like technology dungeon that they had created with like steampunk design and stuff like that. I remember robots would come up and attack you, and they're all like over exaggerated and, you know, steaming and stuff like that.
Yeah, and clunky.
I feel like I should say steam like three more times just for emphasis. Steam. But it was the way they drew their world was really good, and I think a lot of people took that for granted.
And maybe still are. You're saying that maybe the cartoonish aesthetic of it isn't appreciated these days
If I had to translate everything I just said into English.
Steam.
Malkovich. The graphics and the art direction of this game are above the line still. And it's actually it's not the best, but it's an okay benchmark for graphics cards and testing your graphics capabilities and stuff like that, because it's so scalable. Because they wanted to be able to play it on your crap top, and they also wanted to be able to play it on the fastest, top of the line, most graphically capable machines.
But maybe not appreciated by people these days. Is it being replaced by things that are grittier or more realistic? Are there other games that have come out since?
I'm having a hard time finding a competitor, because there's a lot of innovative and new things that have come out. And honestly, in my my scholarly air quote verdict here is that it's not actually being replaced by something of the same genre. And what I see as the biggest competition for this game is on our mobile market, and it's our free to play games that we're getting on our mobile market.
Well, it's a niche market, because you know you're playing Warcraft and you're like, man, I like this game, but what if there was like maybe this or that added or this taken away? So it's a catering more to a specific things that people are looking for that they're probably not getting out of World of Warcraft. So it's not really a big competitor, as it is just a series of other smaller MMORPGs that are just trying to get a cut of that Warcraft action.
Yeah, well, I see it though. Like, we've, in the industry of games, we've retaught our players how they play the game, and we usually write it off as saying, hey, this is what the players want, but really we're the ones responsible for teaching them. And the free-to-play model was introduced, and what it has done is it's taken this World of Warcraft, which is a beautiful immersive world that rewards you for most of the things you do, which makes it better than real life, and they've shortened that time incredibly. So these small free-to-play games give you quick rewards all the time.
So you're thinking
it's
maybe the
kind of like Call of Duty does as well.
The paywall is driving people away a little bit.
I think it's more like, why buy an expensive desktop machine? Why upgrade my graphics card? Why install this game? Because this is
just available on computers.
Yes,
PC.
There's no Macs. But yeah, there's no other way that you can play it.
And will it ever come to another console? Yeah.
Maybe Linux. Maybe.
I'm pretty sure Linux, the crowd is so adaptive, and, you know, they're very into the craft of always adding and taking new features, but I'm pretty sure there's a Linux way
for
of playing
sure,
Warcraft.
If Blizzard hasn't supported it explicitly, someone has figured out how to use Wine to emulate it. And no, I'm not talking about the drink. There is a program on Linux that emulates Windows called Wine. So
for most of what I read, it could never come to a console because it would have to be dumbed down too much.
Yes.
I think the perfect example, and this is kind of leading into our next topic or our next form of discussion, is a fine example of that is Minecraft. So you look at the PC version, and for all that it is, it's flexibility, and it's open source, people just going in there and hacking it too. And you see it on console, and it's just not the same experience. It's like a taste of what you can do, but it's not the full thing.
But there's still enjoyment in it, I guess.
There's clearly enjoyment, but you know when you're playing this and you've been playing it on a PC for a while, it's just like, I could be having more fun on a PC with it.
Yeah.
So maybe World of Warcraft is getting aged out because people are using PCs less.
Yes, I would say
that's the best way to say it.
Yeah.
You said it. We're in full agreement here. That's what's happening. And that's what I'm talking about. The way we're reteaching them is we've given them this fast way to play. You know, it's like you can pick up a game, play for 5 minutes, put it down, you know, close the app on your phone,
More casual games.
I am talking about casual games, but not necessarily. I'm talking about the way that they're played.
Right.
Our new paradigm of games is meant to be just fast. You can open it at any point. You can drop in, drop out. You can get a phone call halfway through, so we have to plan for that. And people are adapting to that. They're adapting to this on-demand, I game when I want a game, and the idea of spending the 5 years I spent playing World of Warcraft just to get all of what I got out of it seems stupid. Why would you waste all that time and money when you could just play this little fun temporary games on your phone while you're sitting in the car waiting to get to the next place you're driving to?
So maybe the immersive and addictive aspect of it is starting to age out as well.
Right. And I don't think it's less addictive. I think people are just becoming less aware of it.
But they're able to take it in shorter bursts and opt out of it when they need to.
Yes. So if there was a way that, to integrate that into World of Warcraft and have it on your mobile phone, then it would just ramp back up or something, you know. But I really don't. We would have to leave that to the Blizzard gods to figure out how to do that. And I think Hearthstone was actually a good attempt at that because Hearthstone is on mobile.
Oh, okay.
And it's using, like, the art from the World of Warcraft universe. And it was a way for them. They made a card game, and for a good reason. They, you know, they looked at putting, I'm guessing they looked at putting a full-scale, you know, having characters and stuff on the mobile and decided that wasn't, that's not what you do on mobile. They wanted something light, something you can carry in your pocket. And the idea of cards, sort of like Magic the Gathering, is what they came up with.
Well, I think you made another example there of light, which is an emphasis on the mobile platform. But technology is very much on a sharp rise in terms of what mobile devices are actually able to give us as far as quality of games. I mean, we're talking fully beautifully rendered 3D games now, you know, on iPhones, iPads.
Absolutely. I just saw Monster Hunter just came out, and it's 4-player online real-time multiplayer on your phone.
And it's an overworld. It's an open-world game in a similar sense that you're able to travel around just like in World of Warcraft, but this is an entire experience brought to you on an iPad.
So there are alternatives for people technology who don't want to use a PC.
Yeah, technology is catching up to where you could actually have almost a World of Warcraft quality game on a mobile device now. It's getting there.
There is a device, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about this, but there's a device by NVIDIA called the Shield. Have you heard of it?
I have heard of it.
Yes. I have not. Not surprisingly.
The Shield, it does run its own. It's about the size of a Nintendo DS. It's got a little more height on it, though, because it has to hold a lot more in it. The device itself doesn't actually render graphics. Its only job is to take screen renderings from your computer and transport them wirelessly to this device rapidly, which emulates you playing a game. So what happens is the workload gets pushed off onto your powerful machine, but you can play it sitting somewhere else in your house. That means you could be able to play World of Warcraft on this little handheld device on your couch. And that's where we're seeing some technologies go as well, and very seriously so, because PlayStation 4 just jumped on that bandwagon too. Actually, they've been on it. You can play your PlayStation 4 from your Vita, so someone can use your TV at the same time, but what you're actually doing is your PlayStation 4 is rendering the frames of the game, and it's handling the input from your device or whatever, but it's sending those frames back to the Vita.
So it's basically a broadcast, except what's the broadcasting source is a more powerful device, and that's all it's doing. It's just broadcasting powerful images from this heavy-duty gaming console to a lighter platform.
Right, so you're leaving the workhorse somewhere else.
Right.
Every
calculation of a game, every frame that chugs on that thing, it spends energy, it wastes battery, it generates heat. And when you have all that workload pushed off on a system that's more capable, like the PlayStation 4, then this little Shield device, it doesn't get hot, it doesn't waste battery quickly, and things like that. So it's a really clever way to handle that problem. And so we're seeing, maybe because of those technologies, we might get to see games like World of Warcraft come back up.
So it might survive.
It might survive is what I'm getting at. Yeah, because then people can have it on the go. They can take it around with them and not feel like they're seated in their chair like Cartman in the South Park episode, right?
Bearing in mind that the only way to get a bunch of people together to play Warcraft was to have them haul their entire gaming rig, like tower,
monitor. Are you talking about LAN parties right now?
Yeah. Well, a LAN party, yeah. And it's just...
Did you ever go to LAN parties, Zach?
Yeah. And at least two of the machines had meatspin.com running on them.
Nice.
I don't know what that is.
You don't want to know what that is.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on, you got it.
No.
Something just hit her. Did you see that? I taste it.
Yeah, something was spinning around and hit me in the face.
It's a very nasty.
It's a good thing this is only a podcast.
I'm actually embarrassed now that I said that live, because now people are going to hit the website and then blame me for it.
Yeah, they're going to have
So disclaimer, Do not go to meetsven.com.
Or do.
Especially if your mom and daddy are in the room with you. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. You might be terribly surprised or delightfully surprised.
But anyway, that was the experience of my LAN parties is four machines running wild back to back, going and killing crazy things. And then two of them for some god awful reason, I think it was actually for me because they heard that I was coming over. It was my first time at this house. And they just wanted to make it as awkward as possible, so they just had weird websites up, and they definitely did get a reaction out of me.
But I think it just goes into, I wanted to weigh in the emphasis of what we had to do before just to get people together, mm-hmm. which is you basically had to become a bodybuilder to haul your own stuff
and
together.
They designed full tower cases with handles on them.
Yeah.
And wheels and stuff like that. So that, like, made under the premise of you're going to be unplugging it and toting it. It's a giant.
That's how you know you're hardcore. Hardcore gamer right there. If you got to get your tower ready to go at a moment's notice. Because you never know when the next LAN party is dropping.
I want to see the gamer who has like a RC chassis attached to his case.
Oh, yes.
He's just like, okay. It's just like driving down the road.
He gets on it.
He just rides like a go-kart.
My tower's ready.
Nice.
Let's do it.
My tower's ready. Yes. Is that supposed to be a Reggie reference?
No, it's just, it's a monolith. That's all it is. I wasn't really pulling a reference there.
I saw a guy sitting on a tower turning like this in a really awkward way and like, my tower is ready.
And well, he could also say, and so is my body or something.
And so is my body.
He just looks like turned on while he's writing.
I really am a parrot, aren't I? I just realized how many times I've like repeated things that you've said.
It's okay. You could be really tired. I don't know.
Really tired.
There now.
Yeah.
Now you're just working it in there.
So
I know we should have prepared for this, bringing in some Mountain Dew, maybe.
So
some Cheetos.
If you brought me Oreos and Mountain Dew, then you would see me get like sugar high.
Oh, we should have done
and
that.
And that's not good.
Well, are recording.
Then you get to hear the ginger scream. Or,
ginger
scream? No, the ginger banshee scream is what it is.
No.
Ginger banshee scream.
But yeah, you
know. I want to hear it.
Well, I'm going to peak the levels and everything. I can't do that tonight. Plus my, you know, roommate's sleeping in the other
room. Oh, that's a shame. But we are recording again together very soon, so maybe I'll be more prepared next time.
They know where to find me.
Well, we'll have Zach on a more sugarified, ready way.
You know what? At this rate, guys, just buy me some absinthe and let me just warm up with that and we'll be good.
Okay. Drunk History of Minecraft.
Yes.
Featuring absinthe.
Exactly.
On this day, Zach Shepard downed half
guys,
a bottle of absinthe.
You guys can
this
act
is
it.
His story.
You can act it. You can use Chip.
Very nice.
He could be your mount in World of Warcraft.
we're gonna make him eat peanut butter, and then he's just gonna like talk and every time we need Chip having a speak and roll. So after clearing this part of Minecraft, I got really hungry. So then I was like, hey, I'm really hungry, and it's just like Chip eating peanut butter.
I chopped down a tree with a pork chop.
It's like I pooped over there in the corner.
I punched some trees. Which is a very Minecraft thing to do.
Yeah.
So,
we'll catch Chip was these. Actually trying to
yeah,
punch some
okay
trees.
Yeah, it's okay to punch a tree in Minecraft. You're not really supposed to do it in real life.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go. I guess you could. I punched a pig in Minecraft. Is that cool?
No.
No?
Well, how
I
else
rode
do you
a
get
pig.
Pork chops?
I rode a pig as well.
Oh, I didn't know you could
do
that.
Build a saddle and ride. You get an achievement on the Xbox for riding a pig.
Oh.
What is it called?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
I was going to make one up. I was going to be like, oi, piggy pig. I don't know.
It was like Snappy Comeback, not found.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway.
All that Minecraft talk will definitely be coming up.
Here any more WoW things going through your minds? I see it. I seize it.
You seize it?
What do you see, Emily?
Don't know what I see. Who is this game for? Because you said it's got a cartoonish style. Is it for children?
It's supposed to be for everyone.
It's not for children. Yeah, it's like a one size fits all game. The part of the graphics that are cartoony are for the younger ages, and the part of them that are serious is for the older people.
They're definitely serious things.
Because you were talking about lots of references being dropped. Are there any that are just for grown-ups?
Oh, I mean, I'm assuming a kid probably won't get, like, the Beatles references.
Right.
I don't know about the Danger Zone. Probably that, too. But I think because...
Oh, no, there's a lot of five-year-olds here that are Kenny Loggins fans.
Well, it's not that. I just think because of a particular show that is... currently available.
Writing the Danger Zone thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's somehow got resaturated into our culture, and younger people will know about it, but they may not actually know the origin though. They just may know it from Archer.
I like that. I like how many times younger kids are like, that's a reference. Ha, ha, ha. And they're like, to what? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Right. Archer said it. I don't know. But they don't get the same image I get in my heads of the jets flying with window to window. But
Goose and Maverick.
But I think the target audience for World of Warcraft was as much people as possible, and they clearly did a good job.
Right.
All sorts of things. Even Hector was talking earlier about like worrying about getting a small kid that sounds like a girl. There were little kids that would play the game, and a lot of them would be good at it. And you would, you know, you'd be raiding with this guy who's running your team, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, the L's go to the left, and then you go to the, you know, and it's like, why is this kid running us?
Right, and that's what I found so interesting about the woman that was using World of Warcraft as a research topic, because she had access to so many people now. She was working out of a small town, but now had access to people from all over, mm-hmm. all ages, demographics, both genders, to talk to, get their opinions, in a way that she couldn't if she just did man on the street interviews. So. Right.
It's a good place to go for social experimentation.
Woman on the street.
I like it much better.
Oh, excuse me.
Much better than making
Elf on the street interviews.
Building like weird hidden societies and really keeping people in them,
mm-hmm.
And experimenting on them and reporting on them and stuff like that.
Oh, like leper colonies?
Yeah, but oh. I remember there was some guy who did an experiment like that. And you know me, I'm not ever going to remember the name, but I watched a documentary on it, and he was like keeping his life open on the internet. Like in his house, he had a camera in every room, and you could log into a website and watch him in any room. And that's the way he wanted it. And then he decided to take a bunch of people, and he found this little like underground space, and he rented it out, and he built these little cubbies and put TVs in them and then cameras in everyone's cubby. And you could tune into other people's homes and watch them as the TV channels.
And that was called
it was a really creepy
Big Brother UK.
Really, really creepy experiment. And it really digressed. Like everyone came in auditioning for it, like, you know, normal. They were normal citizens of the city. And by the time the end of it, everyone was like naked and they're like, you know, running around and just grabbing people when you wanted them. And it was very primitive and stuff like that. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. So how did I get here?
So
I don't know. that was a descent into chaos, but it's also
it was Zach about Shepard social experimentation.
A topic and
yeah, I'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
Right, but it's also about taking a lot of technology and going back to something primitive.
Yeah,
and we are talking about something that's maybe dying, kind of over.
Yeah,
and coming up soon, we're going to talk about something that's very now and kind of relevant.
Very.
So,
thank you for that save.
Yeah, right. thank you for that trail off.
Well, you know, that's what I do.
Yeah.
So I think it's about time then for us to wrap things up.
Right.
Unless you guys have anything else you want to throw into the pile. Because it's a pile now.
No, not this pile.
It's a burning pile.
Just get ready to add a bunch of notches to that pile at the end of that show. Pun there. Pun there.
It sounds like you're falling asleep halfway through there.
Sleepy puns.
Oh, just the best.
They
just,
make more sense.
Just
to
like
the
a bunch
person.
Of Ambien. It's kicking in. I timed it just right. Almost. You need to stop talking, or I will pass out.
So we're gonna get real quiet so Hector can go to sleep.
Thank
so.
You. Yeah.
You can even sing.
Let yourselves out.
Lullaby. Thanks for having me over again, guys.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Good night.
Oh, sorry. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. Be quiet. Baby's sleeping.
Baby.
Gosh, are you guys still here?
Now that we got the baby to bed, we can finish the grown-up business.
That's a big brown baby.
That sounds like it's supposed to be some sort of poop euphemism. Whoa, that's a big brown baby.
Oh, well, yeah, we wanted to come back and drop our social links while the baby is being too loud. So if you would like, you can reach our show. Hold on a second. Got some dreams going on. You can reach us at Slapashow on Twitter, and that's at SLAPASHOW.
And I like when you guys post video content. I saw that a couple of times, right?
We've done it before. It's kind of a myth at this point, but we have done it before.
Master of the February.
But we can also get a hold of you guys individually. I guess I'll drop it for Hector since he's left us. And he is at Polyphone on Twitter, Polyphone.
And if you'd like to reach me personally, you can get to me at Gingerloaf. That's Gingerloaf.
I am also on Twitter, and my I am at Lone Holdout. You can email me at loneholdout@redcowentertainment.com. And both of our shows, Slapashow and Lone Holdout, have Facebook fan pages.
Come and visit us. We've got facebook.com/slapashow. And is it /loneholdout for you?
Yep, absolutely. I think awesome. I just got my 25th like, so I think I'm about to get a custom URL. Ooh, I am moving on up. And I think part of that has to do with the exposure I'm getting from your show. So thank you.
Likewise as well. We're getting very good exposure from having you on. So look forward to our next episode with you, which will be talking about Minecraft.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
All right. Shh, we're going to let the baby get
this. All right. We got to tiptoe out of here. Good night.